Hello, dreamers. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 34. Back on mic. It's been about a week. We have been back from San Diego. For those listeners who are not in Los Angeles, this has been a scorcher this weekend. This is Labor Day weekend as we record. So it's nice to kind of chill out now and get back into our Course in Miracles space. I do want to revisit kind of my slow burn. I have this slight obsession with the Persa slow burn story in The Disappearance of the Universe. And this is Gary as Persa. 100 years from now in Chicago. So I reread it again this morning because I love it so much, and only because it helps me have a guidepost to say, look, it's okay. Even ascended masters go through this. Persa, when she was 50 years old, was in Chicago as a professor. A student of hers who was a little mentally imbalanced and basically wanted a better grade from some class. And Persa was like, well, no, you didn't earn it. And he threatened to say that she had sexually approached him, which was completely untrue. So the story spun out, and I guess the university ended up letting her go. And what I found interesting about the story, she was 50 years old, so interesting time period. She passed away, I think, at 81, but I'll have to double check that. She was saying that she was talking to Gary about how she was able to get through that slow burn. And she had told him, just like anything else, you just have to forgive as things come up. So it was like a series of forgiveness lessons. She had mentioned something about it took her a few months. And I read that and went, a few months? A few months? Are you kidding
me? It's taking me a couple years.
So I thought, well, this is interesting. So if she was 50 and this happened, maybe 51, 52, who knows? And she forgave it in a few months, but she didn't, how do I say, ascend or become enlightened until 11 years prior to her passing. So that would have put her around 70. So what happened between when she had the forgiveness at 51, 52, and 70?
Mm-hmm.
So in my brain, I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? But Persa did say that although she had forgiven him, it came up, it just kept coming up. Just like all of us have those situations where we have these forgiveness opportunities and we think we're done and we have to forgive him again. You talked about that in a few podcasts ago with your slow burn, how you can forgive it and you end up forgiving the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be what Persa had done.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how much that gave me strength, because it was like, it's okay.
Space.
It's like, all right.
To be so, where you are.
Correct. And yeah. I thought, this is an ascended master who is going through this and did struggle and had to forgive it again and again and again. And it's okay. And we're all experiencing that. We've talked about it before. We always felt like, well, if we're not perfect, then what's going to happen? That kind of thing. But when we were speaking with Mike Lemieux last week, in the Course of Course, episode 33, I think we were talking about how we had worried that we'd have to be perfect in order to ascend and get the course and be perfect course students. And he helped us understand that it's not necessary as long as you're in the right mind frame. But the course does allow us the framework in which we can transcend.
I think he was saying we become enlightened in the body. And if we become enlightened, then we know that we're aware.
What does that mean, enlightened in the body?
Like Persa eventually did 11 years before.
Right. She was enlightened and she stayed in the body. So it wasn't like she was enlightened and then exited.
Was she also studying the course right when she turned 50? Is
that
when it came into her life?
She started studying the course when she was like in her early 40s. So she had about 7 years, I think, of the course under her belt when this happened.
Thank goodness.
Right.
She had some tools in her belt.
Right. But she was also Gary in this lifetime. So that training was already there on a soul level.
Sure.
But of course, it's all happening at the same time, which is mind blowing.
In relationship to you.
It's still a slow burn at work. But one of the things that I really appreciate reading this and having these kind of frames of reference as I move forward in my course journey is every day I'm being presented with opportunities to forgive. And in the past week or so, a situation occurred where I found out that a number of other people are also having problems with this person. And the opportunity arose for me to do something about it, like band together and go talk to, you know, HR or whatever. And it took me a while of soul searching to say, you know what, that's not my thing. If I truly am a course student, I need to really get the fact that I created it all. Mm-hmm. So why am I going? It's almost as though I'm trying to hurt myself. I'm tattling on myself.
It's the ego wanting us to collect the evidence so that we can judge and have a trial and attack and, you know,
but I also
prove
know
ourselves.
That I created him in my dream. So
yes.
I'm going after myself, essentially.
Right.
When I have complete control to not create it anymore. So that was, I wouldn't say it was like a major event, but I think that was one of those things where it was a hurdle that I finally was able to cross. I'm not to the finish line by any means, but I'm slowly trying to get this. This person, I have to see this person every day at work. Mm-hmm. So it's not always that easy. And I can feel myself go into my ego space and recoil and not want to engage and all that stuff, which is ridiculous because my ego's been in control for so long. Now that we've been kind of more out in the course community and we're meeting some pretty amazing people, I think that also helps. And listeners, if you have any opportunity to go to study group or a course or Gary Renard and Cindy Renard talk, we completely urge you to do that because I think it does open us up a little more.
Yes, when we came back that weekend, I was completely exhausted. I felt like things were happening on another level. And I felt guided strongly to read the Lord's Prayer and to find out what the conversation is in the text leading up to it. And the paragraph just prior is called The End of Illusions. And it says, "It is impossible to let the past go without relinquishing the special relationship. For the special relationship is an attempt to reenact the past and change it, which becomes a way in which you seek to restore your wounded self-esteem. No special relationship is experienced in the present. Shades of the past envelop it and make it what it is. It has no meaning in the present. And if it means nothing now, it cannot have any real meaning at all. How can you change the past except in fantasy? In the special relationship, you are allowing your distraction to be. That this is insane is obvious. But what is less obvious is that the present is useless to you while you pursue the ego's goal as its ally. Release your brothers from the slavery of their illusions by forgiving them for the illusions you perceive in them. Thus you will learn that you have been forgiven, for it is you who offered them the illusions. In the holy instant, this is done for you in time to bring to you the true condition of heaven." What that all means to me is that it just made me realize that that relationship I had mentioned in New York, that I thought I was going to be moving there and changing my whole life for this person to create something, wasn't happening. I somehow was still holding on to the fantasy and could play different scenarios like, oh, maybe he'll knock on my door someday in LA and be like, oh, I've woken up. I read Gary's book. I figured it out. Or, you know, let's be together. Because there's still that part of me that wants a friend, lover to experience the course with, like, I want to create it in a holy relationship. But the fact that I'm getting that we are trying to repair, you know, like we're wounded. And so we're just constantly trying to create a different outcome by living in this fantasy with this person, then we can never really be in the now. And it's in the now when the holy instant's happening, when we're connected with spirit.
I completely agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people fall down this rabbit hole where they think, oh my God, this man or this woman is the best one I've ever met, and you know, we're soulmates and we're meant to be together, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
you hypnotize yourself into believing it, and no matter what, we all do this. We take in only the data that supports our belief. Mm-hmm. And if we believe that, oh, this guy is the best guy ever, we start ignoring the data that tells us otherwise. And then what happens is we're 6 months into a relationship. Now we're kind of emotionally invested. And you realize, wait a minute, this isn't what I really thought it was. It becomes very complicated at that point. Mm-hmm. And then I had the situation where I was with my special relationship yesterday. I don't know what happened, honestly. It was some conversation. I got a little annoyed because I felt like he wasn't being very complimentary to me. And I had to step back and go, what is my problem here? You know, my self-esteem isn't wrapped up in whether he finds me attractive or not.
But it is, isn't it? That's because how the ego paints
yes,
it.
Yes, absolutely.
The ego uses these insecurities in us to make issues up when there's really nothing there.
Yeah, he did nothing. That was all in my head. Uh-huh. But I think a lot of relationships go through this where one or the other feel like they are not being appreciated or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then in their mind, they have all the stuff going on and it comes out in a weird way. And mm-hmm. so these two people are now having these strange conflicts, and it's got nothing to do with how much they care about the person or their spiritual being. It's their egos fighting over nothing.
It just seems so destructive to be in a special relationship. I love the Lord's Prayer. It's up around my house. I say it every day, several times a day. I just love the beginning, you know, forgive us of our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you. that's all it's about. It's just, that's the forgiveness part, is I created this person. This is my own doing. I'm just going to let it go. It's all about letting go.
It's been a hard lesson for me because I've had so many special relationships and I feel like I've gone on autopilot with mm-hmm. them. Like I just assume, well, why isn't this guy doing this? And you start seeing patterns here where, you know, you have a string of relationships where they all magically appear to have the same problem. Like, well, how did that happen?
Theme.
Yeah, same theme. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yet it's always their fault. You know what I mean? They're terrible or...
It's the projection part.
Oh, my God. I don't like coming to a personal realization that much. I'm not a big fan. I mean, I keep doing it because it's important that I do it, but it's not something that I jump up and down and go, yay, I screwed up again.
I always like to investigate, like, in my mind and mm-hmm. unravel things and definitely take full responsibility.
So what do you do when you come across something and you realize you have to take full responsibility and you recognize that maybe you didn't behave very well towards somebody?
I don't know. My first reaction is I don't normally do that. I'm not mean to people.
Well, I'm not saying mean, or, but, you know, are there situations where you feel like you could have done something differently or?
Well, in this case with this particular person, I think it was fantasy driving it from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
We were friends. I made it into something more. Out of guilt, he probably kind of went along with it. Like you were saying, you know, a few months down the line, a few years down the line, you're wondering, like, is this really what I want? I was listening to a podcast that you turned me on to, the You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes. And you mentioned he's a course student.
And he's a gifted comedian. It's a comedy podcast.
Yes. He was interviewing Henry Rollins, which is somebody I'm a big fan of from my punk rock days. And he was talking about relationships. People are dynamic creatures and how he likes being alone. At Christmas, if the phone only rings once, that's okay.
Henry Rollins.
He travels all over the world. Like, I love his independence and him kind of saying, you know what, society? I don't need to be married. I don't need to have kids. Helps so many people through either giving free performances or financial donations. He's always helping all kinds of people.
He had a series on the History Channel. He's mm-hmm. a historian. Mm-hmm. He's a history
He's well educated. Just like me. He yeah. travels all over the world into interesting locations and comes back and tells stories. And I really like a person that has that kind of independence. It's the independence, and he's experiencing the world. You know, it almost seems like he is a saint on a different expression.
Yeah, and I can see that.
And I like that he's really clear that he doesn't need to have a relationship in order to weigh up to society or to feel complete.
The podcast you mentioned, Pete Holmes, You Made It Weird. Brilliant comedy podcast. I laugh so much and I love his laugh. It is infectious.
It is.
But the thing that I enjoy about him is he's a seeker of God. And at the end of every podcast, he asks his interviewees what they think of God.
I love
which
that part.
I love. And he had a small conversation a couple podcasts ago where he was talking about grace. How often do people talk about the concept of grace? Not very often, but yeah. It just endeared me to him so much. I think he's a pretty successful comedy writer. I think he has
he might have been on Raymond, because I listened to the Ray Romano one and it sounded like he might have been a writer on
there. Or it could have been
or an actor on
I'm
it
not
even.
Sure, but he has this great kind of life story. He got married when he was very young and he broke into comedy as he was married, and the relationship just broke down and they ended up getting a divorce, and he talks about his divorce all the time and how much it changed him. And the nice thing about other podcasts is when the course bleeds through, we get so excited I squeal like a you know excited little girl, like, oh my God, he just mentioned the Course in Miracles. What in the heck is going on here? But he does bring it up a lot. And it's a lovely thing, because two of my absolute favorite things in the whole wide world are comedy and the Course in Miracles. And to have a podcast that does it,
mm-hmm. oh, brings it together.
Fantastic.
I thought it was interesting how he kept talking to Henry, kind of prodding him, like, well, don't you want to have someone to come home to?
Yes.
Don't you want to have someone to have sex with? Like, kind of like, what's wrong with you, buddy?
Let's
why don't
talk
you have
about
someone
that,
around?
Because we get that,
mm-hmm.
Because neither one of us have been married and mm-hmm. we don't have children. We're very young. on the outside, but our inside's a little older, right? So people don't know what to do with that. But we've had to field a lot of that in our life. Like, we're outliers. And what do you mean you're not married? You don't have children. Love my father, but he's a little more old-fashioned. And he truly believes that a woman should be married and have children. That's her lot in life. That's her goal or ultimate reason for living or something. And, you know, he has to turn around and say, this is my daughter. She's not married.
You know? Like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like totally embarrassing. Like, what do I do with this one? Uh-huh. But it's a really good point that our special relationships and our ideas of what we should be factor into this complication of how our egos kind of interact with one another and how we judge each other with our parents or whomever judging us. Because I know at work, I kind of don't fit in when people talk about their family and their kids. I was at an event on Thursday night and some woman said, well, how many children do you have? Because her assumption was, of course I would have children. I said, I have one and she's a cat.
Good answer.
Yeah. She's like, oh, okay. And that shut down the conversation. It's like before we were bonding and now I said, okay, go away.
I would say, I am blessed to have none.
Right. I got very lucky this lifetime. I should have said
that. And that's the thing. It's like all these relationships, special relationships, which is every relationship we have, has got this past that's always coming with it. And it's always got some kind of fantasy and it's always got the ego trying to destroy us. Yet it's ourself that's created all of it. So we just give it over to the Holy Spirit and thought system.
Right. But that's the hardest part for me. It's remembering, why are you getting so mad? You cast these people as roles in your play and you're mad now because they accepted them? Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
It's the unconscious guilt.
When Persa kept saying that in her conversation with Gary in Disappearance of the Universe, that she had to remember over and over again that it was all her anyway. And once she got that, it's like, this is ridiculous. I can move on from this.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what gave me that little piece of understanding with my slow burn. When I finally got that I created the whole thing and it's just me hurting myself and shifting within myself and having complete love for this other person who had to show up this way that I created.
Yeah, a lot of it. But I also think the forgiveness opportunities and experience of some of these ascended masters are really fascinating. We talked last time about, we believe that Gary's fourth book has something to do with how ascended masters like became ascended.
Their stories leading up to it, right?
Mm-hmm. So Persa, which is Gary, went through her last slow burn, which is the forgiveness opportunity with the student. And she struggled with it. And then I thought, well, how much did Jesus struggle? Because we don't know enough about that lifetime yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got glimpses of it in book 2 and book 3, I think. It's one of my favorite parts of certainly 2 and 3. It's him talking about what it was like being with Jesus and Mary. Because how else are you going to get that? You're not going to get it from the Bible.
Yeah.
You know? What those experiences were like, and did Jesus have moments where he had to stop and really think that through, and did he stumble a little? I'm fascinated by that. We always think of him as this perfect example of love and light. There's a reason why he was still on earth, and maybe there were stumbles, and I would love to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great to have somebody on high where we can go, oh my gosh, it's Jesus and so amazing. But I'm far more interested in those who, like Persa, ascend even though they weren't perfect on earth.
It almost seems that we come back, you know, into the body so we forget. But if we've done all our lessons, then we pretty quickly awaken. I mean, that's what Jesus did. He left at
33 years old when he was
like 6 or 7 or whatever age that was that he became.
Yeah, because I think they were calling him rabbi at a very, very early age.
So I think it's that last lifetime when it comes through and then you don't have to come back. Yay!
Well, speaking of last lifetime, I mean, having met Mike Lemieux in person, I really hope this is his last one because I think he's such a lovely person and I feel so privileged to at least have spent some time with him and be able to honestly and genuinely call him a friend.
He's a brother.
Mm-hmm. And it's just so nice to be around someone like that. Like, I can almost see the purity in him.
Definitely. It radiates. He kind of reminds me of my community kind of brothers when I used to live in community.
Oh, right.
I was thinking, this might sound crazy, but even just looking at him, he kind of looks like he could be a part of Jesus.
He absolutely does.
Maybe there's a part of Jesus that's in his lineage that's a split.
It's possible.
Giddy up, Mike.
Maybe he was one of the crew.
I think he was. I think he was in the circle.
One of the Jesus crew.
We're part of the Jesus Underground.
You and I are part of the Jesus
Definitely.
Underground?
Definitely.
Sweet.
We all are.
I had no idea. Good to know.
I want to claim it. Well, we definitely want to thank Mike Lemieux for being our guest last week and all the publicity that it gave to our Course of Course page on Facebook. And then we promoted it afterwards. Thank you, Mikey.
Exactly.
Thank you, people, for giving a listen to Mikey so you could get introduced to us and our journey.
Yeah.
As students of A Course in Miracles. Yes. I'd like to give a shout out to Dirk Schwawen. Excuse me for butchering your last name, Dirk, from Belgium.
You didn't butcher it. You kind of massacred it.
It seems Chinese, but it's not.
Can I see it?
It's S-C-H. Dirk, you know who you are. And also we have Darcene from Kansas City. And we have Cammie from Missouri, who was doing a marathon of listening to our episodes back to back. I can tell because people will start to like them as they're going backwards. So I just want to say thanks for listening, everybody. And Carla Odell, in one of the comments sections, said, "May the course be with you."
Which we love so much. So, Carla, if we steal that from you, thanks in advance. Please forgive us.
I'm going to, because I always say, may the force be with you. And I'm going to start saying to at least the people who get it, may the course be with you. And there is a documentary coming up from A Course in Miracles in which Gary's been one of the interviewees. We're going to go see it on Thursday in Hollywood. It's called Enlightenment or Bust. And it's with Craig Villarubia. Sorry for butchering your name. But you can look for this. It's on Facebook, A Course in Miracles, Enlightenment, or Bust. So I don't know if Cindy or Gary or Jackie or any of those guys are going to that. But it's got Reverend Tony, Jacob Glass, David Hoffmeister, Earl Pudi.
Oh, these are people who have been interviewed, not that they'll be at the screening that we're at.
Gary was one of the people who was interviewed, and I don't see the whole list. So that's a new movie coming out. That's pretty cool. And then we also heard through Mikey about that conference that's coming up. It's a webinar.
Yeah, it's a virtual conference. They have it every year. I believe it's in October.
It has a lot of speakers doing the circuit that we've not really seen.
Correct.
It's only $30 and you get the MP3 files or whatever to watch them later. But that's something else happening, course community, is that online webinar, which unfortunately I don't know what it's called, but you can probably find it on Facebook.
Yeah, I believe that Bruce Rawls in his ACIM blog does talk about it. So, and that comes out once a month, I think. And we talked a little about Bruce Rawls last time, but I do appreciate that blog. Every time it comes out, I'm very excited.
We want to say something, just a shout out to Wayne Dyer for all he's contributed to the world.
And we had talked last week that Wayne has been so prolific in how many books, and he's been on TV a number of times, which is fantastic. He's really made a difference in my life, and I'm sure he's made a difference to many. And happy trails to you, Wayne. I hope that this is your last one.
Yeah, may the light shine bright for you.
Absolutely. I do want to kind of say a little thanks to my sweet friend in Kansas City, Missouri, that's Heaven Lord. I just sent her Disappearance of the Universe, so I'm hoping that she's able to read that, and we'll see if she finds it as enlightening as we did. She's on her own path. I think she's going to be ordained, so I'm very proud of her. And I'm so glad to have her back in my life. All right, listeners, I think this will wrap it up for the Course of Course episode 34. Stephanie, do you have any final thoughts?
Thank you for joining us and listening, and tell your friends.
And may the course be with you.
May the course be with you.
Bye.